Welcome back to the Fighting Alone podcast. As always, I'm Scott, your host and guide to all things millennial scum. On today's episode, I'm going to be going over what I think everybody who is no longer in college should have in their kitchen. And let's go ahead and dive into today's episode. Guys, so before I get into the top five items I think everyone who is no longer in college, I'll even go as far as saying maybe a few years after college, should have in their kitchen, let me give you a little background so you don't think I'm just some 26 year old talking out of their ass like I am most of the time. This is the one thing I will say I feel like I have a decent amount of expertise to pay for college, to pay for my social life in college, as well as tuition and things. I worked in a kitchen for years. I was a sous chef for a while. So even though I don't do that anymore, cooking is still a very important thing to me. So I believe these are items that if you want to impress your friends, at least look like you know what you're doing in the kitchen, I think you need to have. And they kind of make you look more of an adult if you are, you know, out of college at this point. So let's dive into the list. The first thing I have here is a chef's knife. Now, a chef's knife is going to be your main knife. I know some people will say you need to have a chef's, a serrated, all this. I will say you at least need to have a chef's knife. I pretty much do everything with my chef's knife. I have a couple. You don't need to have a couple. I have a couple just because I don't always do my dishes right away. So I like to have, you know, two or three in the house, and for a while there when I was working in a kitchen, I was collecting them. But you don't need that, and you don't also need to. I have one very expensive Japanese chef's knife. You don't need to do something like that. You can 100% get by with buying a, you know, $8 chef's knife from the grocery store, or, you know, maybe something a little nicer from like Sur La Table, or you go to like some other cookware store, something a little nicer. But you don't need to break the bank. You just need to find something that you're comfortable with using. Like I said, I prefer 8 inches. You can get all the way up to 13 inches on the knife. That to me just feels way too big, but you need to have it. You don't want to be that guy using a steak knife to cut up their vegetables when you're having people over and you're cooking, or if you're having a significant other over, or it's a first date and you want to cook for someone. You want to make sure you have the right equipment, and a chef's knife, like I mentioned beforehand, can do almost everything. Yes, people say you need a serrated knife for bread, paring and all this, which you may want to get those. It makes everything easier, but you can do everything with the chef's knife. You know, yes, cutting bread is easier with a serrated knife, but you don't need it. This is like, I'm giving you, if you have limited funds, these five things is what I would say go out and get to at least make everything look good. So with all that, don't break the bank, but this will at least help you start upping your cooking game and look like more of an adult. The second thing I'll say that you need, number two on my list, is a good pot and pan set, a matching pot and pan set, preferably. Sometimes you may not be able to get them to both the pots and pans to match, but you know, you may be able to buy matching pots, matching pans, and then the pots and pans don't necessarily match, which is fine. But you don't want to be the guy who, in college it's fine, I know I was this person, where you had the Goodwill and yard sale pots and pans, so nothing matched, nothing looked the same. But if you're trying to look like an adult, trying to up your cooking game, having a matching is good. And one thing I'll also say, try to get away from the non-stick stuff you get at the grocery store that has that thick black coating that you can't use, you know, metal on. I personally don't like those. And if you are trying to up your cooking game, you should be at a point your life where you can figure out how not to get things to stick without using a non-stick pan. I also personally think they look trashy, they look cheap. I have a stainless steel pot and pan set. Again, you don't have to spend a ton of money, you don't have to get a stainless steel one like I do, but I would recommend, you know, at least getting matching pots and pans, matching, you know, just make sure they match. And again, I would steer away from the non-stick black coated pans, because after a while of using those, no one follows the rules of, oh, only use rubber on these. And they end up getting scratched up, they end up looking bad. So because of that, I would say stay away from those. But if you like them, go for them. There's nothing wrong with them. Just make sure your sets match. Or if you can't get them to match by brand or anything, all my stuff is stainless steel or stainless steel look. Do something like that to where everything kind of looks unison. The next item on my list, this is a personal favorite of mine, but I will say it doesn't, it's not higher on the list, because while going over this list with my girlfriend, she made an argument that not everybody needs one, but I'm still putting it on the list because I think you should. I think it's a great piece of equipment. A cast iron skillet. I have an 8.5-inch cast iron skillet that's almost 100 years old at this point. They are items that are handed down through my family. It's just something when someone unfortunately passes away, a grandparent or something, someone's getting their cast iron. It may be because we grew up an hour from Kentucky, I don't know, but it's a big thing. Mine's old, it's awesome. I think everybody should have one. You can use them to make roasts. They make really good steaks. For all you steak eaters out there, pan-fried fish. Actually, surprisingly, in quarantine I found, since I'm not allowed to grill at my apartment complex, vegetables in there are amazing. The one thing that I see people who mess up, though, with cast iron skillets are, do not use soap on them. Do not put them in the dishwasher. To clean them, you use hot water. You boil it. It'll pull everything off. Wipe it off. Anything that sticks on, you get like a paint scraper, a little rubber paint scraper, handheld one. Scrape everything off the bottom. Rub some olive oil, vegetable oil, and salt on it. Rub it off. Get everything else off. Rinse it all out. Do not use soap on it. Do not put it in the dishwasher. But I think everybody can have it. It's a really versatile tool. On top of the fact that it just kind of looks cool. It's, you know, they're thick black iron, you know, they just look cool, and they kind of can be a conversation piece if you do manage to get one that's older. Like I said, mine is almost 100 years old at this point. I think I'm like 2 years away from it hitting 100. It's something I'd recommend looking into, and I think everybody needs to have one. Number four on my list is a spatula. Now, with a spatula, I know that seems pretty like, oh, a spatula, okay. And the reason I put this on my list is because I feel like I've been to friends' houses, adults' houses, where they have this, it's a spatula, yeah, great, but it's really flimsy. It doesn't have any give to it. If you try to pick anything up with weight, it breaks down. You can't really do anything with it. So I'd say get a good spatula. I'm not gonna say get a metal spatula over a rubber spatula. I have both. I think they both work great. I use certain things, you know, I'll use my metal one. I prefer that for burgers. If I cook burgers inside over my rubber one, but that's a personal preference thing. Again, either can work. Don't have to break the bank on this. Just make sure it has some good stability. That's why I put this on the list. You know, a lot of people feel like it's a no-brainer, but I've also been to people over to people's houses who are well into their 20s, almost in their 30s, and they have the spatula where they have to use like a fork to help them flip with it because it can't sustain weight. Make sure it can sustain weight. That's all I'm saying. I think it's, again, doesn't have to break the bank. I think I've never spent more than like $7 on a spatula. You can, if you want to. You can get some real fancy ones, fancy handles, all this, but basic. And if you do get a rubber one, be careful. All my rubber ones have little notches in the handles from where I've left it laying on the pan or skillet, whatever I'm using, and it burns into them. So that's the one thing I will say. If you're forgetful like me, maybe lean towards a metal one so it doesn't get those burn notches in it. Now, the last item on my list may seem kind of stupid to some of y'all, but I'll explain it. Give me a chance here. A cutting board. not just any cutting board, a decent cutting board. And what I mean by that is, for a while there, and I had some in college, there were these cutting boards you could fold. Like, they were really loose plastic, and they were more like just a little sheet you could put over your counter, and it would keep you from cutting into it. Now, in idea, these things are a great idea. You can fold them up, shove them in a cabinet somewhere. They don't take up a bunch of space. In practice, after a few washes, they warp. It's impossible to get them to lay flat when you're cutting, and that just causes some danger. So don't buy those. And I personally will go as far as to say, don't buy wooden cutting boards. A handful of reasons. One, you're actually supposed to treat those after you use them and cut them. No one ever does. The knives also cut into the wood a little bit more, making it harder to clean down in there, so you can run the risk of getting bacteria. They're another thing you're not supposed to put in the dishwasher. Again, I had one until fairly recently, and it broke because we'd put it in the dishwasher. We wouldn't treat it like the majority of people do. So I would go as far as to say, stay away from wooden ones unless you're getting it to be purely decorative, or you're getting it as kind of a charcuterie board. Even then, I'd say look into something else. I prefer the old school, just thick plastic. It's what we used when I was working in professional kitchens. Some professional kitchens you'll even see have basically removable cutting boards that will slide into the table, so the table basically becomes a giant cutting board. I love these things. And you may be saying, Scott, you said wooden ones get little cuts in them every time you use them. So do these. They do get cuts in them, I will say that. But after a while, the first time you use a knife on a wooden cutting board, it gets little cuts in it. It takes a while to start getting cuts in one of these thick plastic cutting boards. Again, I recommend it. I think they're great. I think if you get all of these five things, you'll really up your kitchen game. Even if you don't learn anything new, you'll at least look like you know what you're doing a little more. You'll, you know, have a little sense of, like, okay, I'm an adult now, maybe I don't eat ramen for every meal. And if you're anything like me, when you do get these new gadgets that you can do things with, you'll want to try to make new recipes, you'll want to try new things. So if you are looking at up in your kitchen game, I would start with a chef's knife and a pot and pan set and go from there. Again, all these things I think are great, and you can either, you can spend as much or as little money as you want on all of them to kind of start upping your kitchen game. All right, guys, I'm gonna take a quick break here, and I will be back in a moment. And I'm back. So I hope you guys enjoyed that little segment. I'm gonna have some more going forward. Scripted segments, not scripted, but kind of segments like that, a little bit more formatted. That's the word I'm looking for, not scripted, as opposed to kind of how I've been doing it, just winging it. And then I'm going to end with some just kind of winging it and talking. I still enjoy that aspect of this show, and up until this point, that's what everybody's gotten. So I'm going to keep it in there, but I'm going to start out with some more formatted bits. So I hope you all enjoyed it. Some of y'all may have noticed I've started adding background music while I do the podcast. I mentioned a few episodes ago I've met a few professional podcasters, and I've started talking to them on a decently regular basis, and that was one recommendation they gave me. Since I don't do this in a professional studio, they said it may help cover up some background noise you don't want in there. And even if it doesn't cover it up completely, hopefully it will remove the ear's attention to it. So I'm going with that. I actually enjoy the way it sounds. I think it complements really well. And since it's playing in my ears while I record this, I think it kind of makes me relax a little while I talk. And I think the quality has gone up since then. So I hope y'all enjoy it. I think it's going to stay, even if you don't enjoy it. Sorry. The one thing I do wish is I have very little control over the levels in the background, so we'll see what happens with that. You know, honestly, I've been running a lot still, and if it wasn't for running, I don't know, honestly, how I was coming up with ideas for the podcast beforehand. I'm going on at least 30-minute runs at a time, and after every run, it seems like I have new ideas for the podcast, and I've actually started having to keep a notebook separate for the podcast now, because after runs, I come up with so many ideas that I want to bring to the table, and I actually, at the moment, have 6 episodes worth of ideas written up now, so hopefully we start seeing a big increase here, and like I said, a little bit more regimen and a little bit more thought out first half of the podcast, and we'll be going from there. So I hope y'all are enjoying it. I wish I had more to say in this little section here that I'm reserving for me just to talk, but over the last week I was house and dog sitting for my parents, so I didn't do much up there. I ran, I walked dogs, and I applied for more jobs, you know, still on that front. So I don't really have much else to say today. So I'm going to just jump right into the programming notes. The first thing I want to say is I created some new merch, some t-shirts and hoodies. They're online for sale now if you're interested. In the podcast description on Apple and Spotify, there's a link to a Teespring shop. That's where you can buy it. So go there if you're interested. Check it out. I have a few more ideas I'm working on, and I'm actually going a different route for those than Teespring, but for now, that's the where to find it. And as always, if you enjoy what you're listening to, tell a friend, rate, review, and subscribe to us, and then also follow us on Instagram. I'm trying to build the following there, because even though I don't post all the time on there, any information that I feel like you guys need to know is going to be on that podcast page, and for those of you who don't know, that's Fighting Alone Podcast on Instagram. I've considered doing a Twitter, but I have 0 tweets on my personal Twitter account, so I'm not doing that anytime soon. You know, so like always, just tell somebody if you're enjoying this, especially with the change. I think this is great. So I hope you guys enjoy this episode and are having a great day whenever you listen into this. All right. Bye.